We've got a Bible with you. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. We'll be carrying on from where we was last week. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to be looking at David. He's talking about David. And we're going to see, you remember last week, David's on the run from Saul. He was he's the champion of Saul. He was the best man since sliced bread. He was the best man in Israel. The best fighting man in Israel. Married to the king's daughter. Next in line to be king. And Saul decides he wants him dead. He's jealous of him. And we see that David ends up on the run. He shags, he bolts. He ends up on the run. He shags and bolts. And he ends up in a place completely on his own. We're going to read it now. Chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "Now David therefore departed there and escaped to the cave of Adullam." Now where this cave at is, they reckon, it's about 5 or 6 miles from Gath, which is where the enemy is, where Goliath come from. That's where the Philistines are. And it's about 15 miles from Bethlehem, where David was born. So he's in this sort of area. He's as far away from the king as he can get, more or less. And so his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, and they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was discontented, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah, to Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you until I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold, depart and go to the land of Judah." So David departed and went to the forest of Herod. Right, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us tonight and have saint in store for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray that I have your way, Lord. Let the learning be for
living. Thankful. Let the learning be for living, my God. Lord, anoint my lips, my God, and fill my heart. Let it be for your glory, Lord. You speak to your children with faith, Lord, this morning. Have your way, Mr. Please, Lord. Feed us all tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, David flees from the Philistines. Last week, he's scratching at the gate. He goes from Saul, he bolts the Philistines. He pretends to be mad because he's crashed to them. Then he bolts from them and he ends up taking refuge at the cave of Adullam. And he's all alone. David is all alone. He had everyone around him, even the priest. When he turned up, even the priest said to him, like, "Why are you here on your own? You usually got an entourage with you," sort of thing. "You're the son-in-law of the king. You're a fighting man. You're his main warrior. You usually got a heap of men with you. Why are you here on your own?" Like, and all of a sudden, David's not used to being on his own. He's the top man. Now all of a sudden, he can't go around his enemies. He can't be around his friend Jonathan. He can't be around the king. He can't be around his friends. He can't be around his soldiers. He can't be around anyone. He's ended up on his own in a cave, all alone. And David at this point must have been one of the lowest points of his life. He had many low points. This must have been a very low point of his life, because he's here all on his own, discouraged, nowhere to go. And David begins to cry out to the Lord. He begins to speak to the Lord and to God about his situation. And David finds refuge in the Lord. Now, what we realise is that in David's life, as we read through Samuel, and we read about David, and you can read about David in Chronicles as well, and read about this, there's another book, the Book of Chronicles. But yeah, it only tells you the stories of what was happening. It don't tell you what was going on in David's heart. But David calls the chief musicians to write psalms. So So as David was going through certain situations, the book of Psalms are songs that they sung in the temple. And David had songs written about his trials, his tribulations, his deliverances, how God was good to him, all the things that God done to him. And when David was in this cave and he come out, there was a song written. And it's in Psalms 142, and I'm going to read it. Psalms 142. And it says, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And it says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. So this is how David is feeling. This is what David's doing while he's in the cave. We're hearing his story. We're going to see these 400 men come to him. We're going to see his family come to him. He's all on his own. But this is David's heart in this map. It says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him, and I declare him in my trouble. So David is crying out, Lord, Lord, look at the state I'm in. There's a situation I've come to. The man who I've been serving wants to kill me. I'm hunted. I've got to be on my own. See, in a minute we're going to see David has to go and put his family, his mother and father, somewhere safe, because he's worried about them. There's a state of being on his own in this cave. When my spirit was overwhelmed, it meant fainted. He said, when my spirit fainted within me, he's had enough. Then you knew my path, in the way which I would walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. He's saying, I'm all alone. I've got a friend in the world. I was the best thing since sliced bread the other week. Now I'm on me Todd. I ain't got not one person. There is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. He's in a bad way, isn't he? He's crying out. He's in a bad way. He says this, verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord, and I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. What he's saying is, I'm going to be dead in a minute. If you don't help me, Lord, I'm going to be dead because I'm going to be able to fight these people. There's too many of them. I'm not going to be able to do it. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. The psalm lets us know what David was feeling during this time. He says, my spirit is fainted. I'm on my own. There's no refuge for me. There's no friends, no help. I have nothing. And then he comes to verse 5 and he cries out to you, O Lord. He said, I cry out to you, O Lord. I said that you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. David cries out, even though he's in this low place, even though he's had better times, he cries out. And he says, even though I've got nothing, Lord, I've got you. Even though I've got nothing and I've got nobody and I'm in here all on my own, I know I've got you. And let me tell you something. As Christians, that's a wonderful thing to know, that we can have nothing, but if we have the Lord, we have everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, Lord, when I'm at my lowest, let me have the wisdom and the faith like David to find refuge in the Lord. He said, you are my portion, Lord. You are all that I need. You are my portion. You are everything I need, Lord. If I've got you, I've got everything. At this point, David never had no one. In a minute, we're going to see his family come to him. We're going to see these 400 men come to him. But at this point, David's got no one and nothing. But he knew that he had God, and that was enough. Hallelujah. He knew he had the Lord, and that was enough. And let me tell you something. I can tell you now, 100%, when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be mountaintops. I don't know, maybe you started in the valley, but there will be mountaintops. There will be times when it is as good as it can get. When you think, look here, this is the life I'm living. This is the best you can get. You know what I mean? This is the best I'm living. Everything's cushioned. Everything's good. And there will be times of heartache and pain and deep, deep valleys. Things that other people will not even begin to even understand. But if we have God, we have everything. If we have the law, we have everything. David was anointed as king, and he knew he had God with him. When he won his battles, when he killed Goliath, he knew he had the Lord with him. When he was commander of armies, he knew he had the Lord with him. When he wrote the songs, when they wrote the songs about him, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. David was living the life of Riley. He knew that he had God with him. But anyone can trust in God when the going's good. And there is times where it seems like it might be easy to be a Christian. It might be easy to have faith in God. It might be easy to put your trust in the Lord. And you can't work out. You look at people and think, can't work out why they keep falling away from God all the time. Must be messers then, people. Can't work out why they're making such a big deal out of it. They're having such a big hard time. And all of a sudden, it begins to pour. And it begins to rain. And all of a sudden, you're like, poor me. Lord, I've got nobody and nothing. There's a state I'm in. Look where I'm at in this divvy cave all by myself. I ain't got a soul around me. And in a minute, I'm going to be dead. But Lord, if I have you, I have everything. And let me tell you something. We will never know how true that is until we're where David is in that cave. And I'm afraid to say, we're all going to have to spend time there. That time has come to all of us. Anyone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, that time has come to all of us. There may be days when we're going to be king. There might be days when we're warriors. There might be days when we're leading men and crashing the gate at 98. But there's going to be days when we're in a cave on our own. And then I want to tell you something. It's that point you need to remember. God is enough. If you have the Lord, you have everything. Oh Lord, you are my refuge. I've got no refuge, Lord. If I've got you, you're my refuge. If I've got you, Lord, I've got everything. And let me tell you something. That is the one undeniable truth in this whole world. That if we have Christ, we have everything. If we have Jesus, we have everything. It's easy to be a Christian when we're going to be king, when we're living the life of a king. But it's when you're in that cave, it counts. And let me keep saying, I thank God for David's faith as a testimony to me. There's loads of things in David's life I wouldn't want to be. I wouldn't want to practice or be like. But at that point, I hope I have the wisdom and faith that David had to know that when I'm on my own, I still have the Lord over me. The Bible says, never will I leave you, or never will I forsake you. The promise from the Lord, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He says, and David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became the captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So David's cried out to the Lord. And then thanked the Lord. Listen, remember this. David's family didn't seem to think very much of him, I don't think. If you just go by what we read, especially when he's a young fella. Because the prophet Samuel came and said, listen, bring all your family, I'm going to put a feast on. And bring all your family, all your families invited. They never even took David with them. He wasn't even considered to be like, oh, he's all right, he's just a chap, he'll leave you behind. You know what I mean? He'd be alright. Do you know what I mean? And Samuel said, yeah, there are no more men among you. He said, yeah, well, go and fetch him and bring him here. And when he went down to the battlefield and he was talking about Goliath, one of his brothers ridiculed him. Do you know what I mean? Had a go. But all of a sudden now you see that his brothers turn up. They hear about him and they turn up. But they was in Saul's army as well. So they left Saul's army to join their brother in the wilderness in a cave. So they become fugitives as well. They would have been hunted men. Their head would have been gone if Saul would have got hold of them. But they went to their brother. Let me tell you something. That's a wonderful picture there, isn't it? That when if one of us are struggling or suffering, that someone might come to them and help them. But I ask you this question now. Whose job is it to go to people when they're suffering in the cave? Whose? Ask. But this is the problem I have. And you might be different. I tend to think that I'm one of the ministers here, and that everyone might think it's my job, or Charles's job, or Johnny's job, or one of our wife's job. And that might be true. There might be a truth to that. Definitely that we want to lead by example, and we want to do the best for people. But also as well, the care of the church. When you read the Bible, the care of the church, and what I mean by encouraging one another, and helping one another, and carrying one another. When the letters are written, it talks about the work that we should do with one another. It's never put on the ministers, or the leaders, or the elders. It's put on the church itself. So, me being a part of this church, it's all of us. So, he said his brothers heard about it, and they went to him. But you know, if you know someone that might need help, that might need a bit of encouragement, that might need speaking to, or ringing up, or praying for, or something like that, don't go tell someone else, because it's come to your ears. David's brothers heard about where he was at, and they went to him. And his father's house, his family come to him. So listen, there was comfort to be had there, isn't there? Because you know as well as I do, sometimes when things go wrong, they go pear-shaped, you want your family around you, didn't you? You want comfort. You want your family around you. David is not on his own for long. His brothers and his father's household come down to him, and leave Saul's army, and they become fugitives themselves. And it says that there's 400 other men, about 400 other men, come down to be with David and come under David. When we read Chronicles, it says that David sees these men coming. He goes out and he says, look, if you're here to do me harm, know that I'm innocent and I haven't done a thing wrong. He said, let the judgment of the Lord be upon you. But he said, if you're here to help me, then come in, you're welcome. And they said, look, we stand by you. They know he's anointed to be king. But these 400 men that turn up to him, they're not the 400 men you'd want to choose if you were going to... Look, Saul's got an army of 1,000. So at least David wants, he wants 400 men who can have a pocket, doesn't he? He wants 400 and men. You know what I mean? And these men that turn up, really, like, for want of a better word, they're misfits. They're misfit people. You know what I mean? They turn up, it says, look... And everyone who was in distress. So these men turn up, and everyone who's in a state. Like, you need help, you're in a state, and someone else turns up to help you, and they're in a state. You'd be like, better go away and leave you alone, because I can't deal with myself, let alone you. Do you know what I mean? You're in a state, and someone's turned up to help you, and they're in a state. You think, well, two heady chaps we are, what are we going to get done? The audit says, everyone who was in distress. Their lives was in a mess, in a way. Their lives wasn't easy. They had problems of their own. Let's put it that way. There was people who had problems of their own. They never had it all together. But God called them to fight up alongside David. It says that God called everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt. So there's all these people who are in debt and they're owing to someone. They're beholden to someone. They found themselves in trouble, in debt to others, and they've failed and left themselves owing somebody and beholden to somebody else. These are the people that are looked down in that at that time. People are looked down on them. They're like, look at him, he can't even sort himself out. So you got all these people, all these men are in distress, they're in a state. Then you got all these people who owe a load of money, they're in debt in some way. They've become like under someone. They're beholden to someone. And it says everyone who was discontented. That word there, discontented, meant bitter of soul. They was bitter of soul. They was like, they was unsatisfied with their lives. Or maybe the way that Saul was running the kingdom or the things he was doing. They was bitter. So David's in a state and there's all these people turn up. And they're all in a state. They're bitter and angry and upset. Or in trouble, owing someone, like David must have thought to himself, well, as handy lot we must be, you know what I mean? God sends David a bunch of misfits, really. It's the only thing I can say for him. They wouldn't be the 400 men you chose, let's put it that way, if he was going to go to war. Men that you wouldn't pick there by your side, but God takes this bunch of men and makes them into warriors. When we read on through the stories from here, it doesn't always start, it doesn't start out perfect. By the end, these men become warriors, men who David can rely on and lean on. And let me tell you something, like, for want of a better word, right? I'm not saying we're all misfits, right? For want of a better word, but that sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? The Bible says that God will take the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, that God has chosen us to be here. Look, who am I? Who are you? Who are we? We ain't nobody in this world. We ain't no travelling people, gypsy people ain't nobody in this world. We're doing our own life, living our own thing. We might think we're the best thing since sliced bread. But the world don't even blink if something happens to us, does it? But all of a sudden, when I look at the mission, I look at Light and Life, I look at this church, I look at the effect that it's having upon this area. When you go out and you speak to people, people know that there's a church here. They know that there's believers in Christ here. They know this is somewhere where they can come and hear the truth, where they can come and be comforted. Look at the mission, the way that God uses the mission up and down this country and all over the world. The Bible says God will take the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. We ain't nobody. We are just like people with problems, people in distress, people in debt. We definitely had a debt of sin before we come to the Lord, didn't we? Thank God he paid it. But we are people who can be discontented and bitter sometimes. And we come to the Lord and you know what God's doing? What God is doing with them, he made them into an army. That's what God's doing with us. We ain't nothing, but I tell you what we are. We're being made into the image of Christ. That God has a plan to use each and every one of us, if we're willing, hallelujah. If we are willing. God has made us into warriors and servants and worshippers. And thank God that he is. Thank God that not only when I got saved, my life changed, but now God has a purpose for me. And he wants to use me as his mouthpiece. That I might be able to bring someone else to Christ. That I might be able to encourage someone. I might be able to lead someone in a time of worship or pray for somebody. I could be useful for the kingdom of God. Why? Because God is using me and making me a soldier, a warrior, a worshipper, a servant. I looked at all these people and I thought, Lord, I understand why, how you could use men like that. Because you use me, Lord. And God loves you. He's using you as well, hallelujah. God doesn't call, I didn't really know, I know there's a bit of a saying, I couldn't remember what it was, but more or less this is it. God doesn't call gifted people. God gives gifts to the people he's called for his service. And don't get me wrong, God will use the character of a man or woman. If someone is bold or if someone has a way about them or someone is, God will use that in his service. But God doesn't need us. Listen, look, Moses was a murderer. Noah was a drunkard. Jacob was a liar. All these different people. But God used them. They become mighty men. It was mighty women in the Bible. Mighty servants. Not because they was anything special. Sometimes you get people and they go, oh, look at this man. Oh, mate, he was a big mush in the world. He was a great man in the world. If he gets saved, he'd definitely be a preacher. Why? Why does God need someone to be great before he can use them? God don't need no one to be great before he can use them. That's why he says, I say again, the foolish things in this world are shame the wise. Better us be nothing and God lift us up than us think that we're something and he pull us down. God doesn't call the gifted, he gives gifts to those who he has called. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, that is us. We're in an army. We have a captain over us, and God wants to use us to be his servants, his warriors. It says now in verse 3, that David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God is going to do with me. So they brought them there before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. So David's got himself in somewhere proper so no one can get to him, and he's just waiting out. So the prophet Gad said to him, David, do not stay in the stronghold, but depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went to the forest of Hereth. Now listen, before we go any further, it says, David said to the king of Moab, Can my mum and dad come here? Now, David had a connection with them because his great-grandmother, Ruth, which is David's great-grandmother, Ruth, in the Bible, she was a Moabite. So there might have been some sort of connection there. Maybe that's why they give him some sort of honour or respect. But he said his mother, he was worried about their life because he knew if Saul's willing to kill me and maybe even his own son, he'd kill me mum and dad as well to get to me. So he wanted to make sure they were safe. But he said, can they stay here until I find out what God is going to do with me? David never said, can I just make them safe until I decide what I'm going to do? He said, until I find out what God is doing with me. And let me tell you something, there's something in that we have to take notice of, that when I'm in a situation, I might say, you know what, I'm going to stick out here until I've decided what I'm going to do. But David was wise enough to say, no, I'm going to wait and see what God's going to do first, before I make any decisions, before I make any plans, before I go anywhere. And all of a sudden, the prophet of God turns up and tells him what to do. Hallelujah. If we wait, God will speak. But what it is, we want to make the decisions, we want to make plans, we want to decide how to do things. But David had the right idea. No, we have to wait upon the Lord. Let me wait here until I find out what God's going to do. David knows it's going to be not long until Saul comes to find him. So he makes his family safe. He prepares for what lies ahead, not knowing what God's going to be about to do and get him out of his comfort zone. Listen, he was on his own. Now he's got his family with him. He's made his family safe. He's got 400 men. He's in a fortress, in a safe place. David was comfortable and tried to wait out and keep away from Saul. David, we're going to see later on in the next few chapters, David has opportunity after opportunity to kill Saul while Saul's trying to kill him, and he doesn't do it. He won't hurt Saul. He said, look, God has anointed him. God has chosen him. It's not my place to take him out. David was gracious to Saul. But he's in this place that's comfortable, but God ain't going to let him stay there. He has to go. The prophet comes and says, that leave here and go to Judea, which is Saul's backyard. So David's got himself sorted. He's anchoring down. I'm on Cushy. I don't need to leave here. I'll ride this out. Saul will die or get disinterested or something will happen and everything will be okay. And the prophet comes and goes, no. Get out to the wilderness of Judea. Get right in Saul's backyard on show. What we must remember is this. God does allow us to rest from the battle. We must realise as Christians, I do, you do, we have times where we are battling, where we are struggling, where we are drowning, where we're aching for something different and dying dead for the Lord's intervention. And God will allow us to rest from the battle. But he won't allow us to hide from the battle. We're in a battle. We can't hide from it. And that's what I want to do after time. I want to hide from the battle. I want to say, leave me here. I've got my family. I've got people around me who's for me, who look after me. I've got food and water and drink. I'm not getting out in the battle. And I've had people say this to me. Joseph, listen, I want to serve the Lord, but every time I step out to serve the Lord, things go wrong. Bad things happen. So I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore. Well, ain't that exactly what the enemy wants, isn't it? As soon as you step out to serve the Lord, you're already around the corner, you step out. Dick of me, there's a target. Do you know what I mean? You put your head around the corner, the enemy goes flop. Yeah? Oh, I ain't putting your head out around there no more. Every time I go out into that battlefield, someone says about me. I have problems, I have trouble. God will allow us to rest from the battle. He won't allow us to hide. He won't allow David to hide. Go out and get into the battle. David had to fight. If he didn't meet with Saul, he had to fight. He wouldn't allow him to hide from him. God is going to raise David up to be the greatest king Israel has ever known. But he's not going to learn how to be king. He's not going to learn how to be king sitting in a palace being Saul's top man. David ain't going to learn how to be king by sitting in a palace. You think, well, that's the place to learn, isn't it? David ain't going to learn to be king sitting in a palace being Saul's top warrior. David's going to learn how to be a king on the run, living in a desert with a load of ragtag people. That's where God's going to train him. And we see the same with Moses. We see the same with any man or woman who serves the Lord. We see that all of a sudden when God wants to use them and God is preparing them to do great things, first of all, he puts them in the wilderness. He gets them on their own and puts them in the wilderness, gets them in a terrible time. They go low, things happen, and then what do? They call out to the Lord, and the Lord delivers them. We will not learn to be the Christians that God wants us to be by living in the spiritual luxury and having everything perfect and having a lovely church and the best sermon, the best preach, and everything's okay. We've got money in our pocket all the time and our children are never ill, we're never ill, and everything's fine and we never row with our husbands and wives and there's never no problem, don't I? But that's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. And that is not how God prepares people for service. David is not going to learn to be the king that God wants him to be by sitting in a palace. And in fact, when later on down the line, when David does sit in the palace and rest on his laurels, that's when the problems come. And the enemy undoes him. David falls in a major way. David's going to learn how to be king on the run. But he's 400 ragtag men. And he's going to make mistakes, and we're going to see further on down through the story, he ends up going and serving the Philistine king and fighting for them. Think, what's David doing? He's fighting against his own, all these different things happening up and down and out. But God has got his hand on him, and God ain't going to let him go too far. I want to encourage us tonight to know this, that God has got a plan for you. No matter what problem, in whatever situation, if you're willing to come and serve the Lord, God has got a plan for you. God wants to use you. And in your lowest point, always remember, God is enough and God is there. Hallelujah. God is enough and God is there. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, my God, and I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done, my God, and I lift your name on high. Lord, I glorify you and I praise you, my God.